And this morning, I want to talk a little bit about what does it mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to be in Christ? What does your identity in Christ look like? I've taken this idea, this thought, and that as God brought me into Ephesians, and I've been reading the book of Ephesians, and I encourage you, and that if you haven't read Ephesians for a while, I encourage you to open your word and read Ephesians, not just once, maybe two or three times. And as you're reading it, look for the phrases in Christ, or in Him, or in the Beloved. You know, you'll see in Christ about a dozen times in the book of Ephesians. You'll see the variation of in Christ more than 20 times. In fact, in the six chapters of this book, you'll see the concept of in Christ more than 30 times. I encourage you to highlight it, circle it, pray about it, think about it, study it, to see what He says our identity is, to see what He says of what it means to be in Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So how do I live that way? What is it to look like? Where am I to move? How am I to think? Well, Ephesians is a great place to start. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, how on His word, knowing what it means to be in Christ. Knowing what it means to be in Him, knowing what it means to be saved, that you can have a peace and a rest beyond understanding when you understand that. The problem is a lot of people, and that when they got saved to an idea, they got saved to a church, they got saved because of a family member, and they don't fully understand what it means to be in Christ. And therefore, they get tossed to and fro by the waves. It says, no, for us that are in Christ, we're to stand solid upon the rock. That no matter what waves hit, we can stand firm upon a firm foundation that is found in Him. You need to get yourself into the Word of God until the Word of God gets into you. I encourage you to go through this book and ask yourself, what does it mean to have an identity in Christ? And in Ephesians, you will help find that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 to 16, and that it tells us that, you know, really, we must redeem the time. We must make every moment count. It reads this, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. On this quest of being in Christ, find out what pleases the Lord and be about that. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, raise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Another version says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Make your life count this year in 2018. Understand that you're standing upon a firm foundation, upon the rock of Christ. Begin to study in Ephesians to find out what it means to be in Him. Why you can stand firm when everyone else is caving. Why you can stand firm when everyone else is falling apart because of the words and reports they're giving and the attacks and the problems that are happening around, and why you can stand firm in the middle of it. Why, like Jesus, could sleep in the boat in the middle of the storm. That's the peace that goes beyond understanding that he wants in your heart and mind, and you will have it when you understand who you are in Christ. Before I jump into Ephesians, let me pause for a moment and look back to the beginning. You see, our identity in Christ, in that can be summed in this little phrase, you do who you are. You do who you are. Who you believe you are, you will live out. If you feel you're a loser or a failure or you can't make anything or accomplish anything, you will live that life out. If you feel that you are better than everyone else, you will live that life out. You do who you are. God identifies us through relationships. See, our tendency is to identify ourselves by what we do rather than who we are. Someone says, who are you? Well, I'm a pastor, I'm this, I'm that. No. Who are you? I'm a child of the King. I'm a son of God. That's my firm foundation that doesn't get shaken because God himself has declared it. And he's the creator of everything. I shared before, you know, in this world, and that this world, they perform in order to get acceptance. And in their acceptance, they hope to find their identity. But in Christ, he flips it around the opposite way. And he says, right off of the bat, he says, your identity is now in me. You have an identity. It's now in Christ. And not only do you have your identity, but you are accepted, period. And out of that acceptance and that identity that he gives us, I'm a new creation. The old is gone, the new has begun. In this new identity he has given me, in this acceptance that he gives me, no matter what I've done, no matter what's gone on, he's never going to leave me or nor forsake me. I perform out of that. I do all the things I do out of the great love that he has lavished upon me. Instead of driven to do all the things I do in hopes that I might get accepted by someone. If I work harder, if I do more, if I this or I that, then someone might love me in hopes to find some kind of identity. Listen to me. If you did nothing else for the rest of your life, you would not take away from God's love any. And you can't add to it. Rest in him. Rest in him. You do who you are. In Romans chapter 4, verse 13 to 25, we see this pattern and that coming out from Abraham. You see, we in ourselves, we fail. We can't, you know, live right. We can't always do right. We try. Like Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't end up doing. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. And like Abraham, it's hard. We have that sinful nature. Most of us work so hard to make an identity for ourselves, yet we're not seeing any lasting fulfillment. Still empty. No purpose. Something's missing. See, God declared Abraham's identity, and then he made it a reality. And God declares that we too can have a new identity in Christ. It's really a restoration of the original identity that God intended for us. God, who in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, calls into existence the things that do not exist. He speaks things that are not, and he creates them and brings them back. He tells us that the new identity can be ours through what Jesus has done. We can see that later in verse 20 and 21. He tells us that we grow strong in our faith as we give glory to God. Fully convinced that God is able to do what he had promised. He that began a good work will complete it. He's not finished with you yet, and he's not finished with me yet. In verse 22 of chapter 4 of Romans and 25, it tells us that Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words "it was counted to him" were not written just for his sake alone, but for yours and for mine. It will be counted to us who believe in God, who was raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who has delivered up our trespasses and was raised for our justification, that in Christ you are made right. In Christ I am made right before my God. That what he did on the cross was more than enough. You don't have to add to it. You don't have to try and get his attention. I'm so thankful, you know, as we begin to worship God, we don't have to, you know, hey God, look at me, look down here. I love you. I just want your attention. No, God's already here. And he's saying, hey, I'm here. Can I have your attention? Can I have your attention? It's not us trying to get his attention, his approval. Listen to me. He pursued you. He doesn't need you, and he doesn't need me in the sense that God is lacking something without us. But he wants you. He wants you. He wants me. He draws. He bids us to come. We love because we were first loved, Scripture tells us. This week, when you do something that you regret, ask yourself, how did my self-perceived identity cause this? Let me give you for instance. You know, you yell at your wife, your kids, or coworker because they did something that didn't go your way. Is it because that we think we're the center of everything? Or the supreme authority? You see, when we pause and we reflect and we realize that, wait a minute, no one on the face of the earth can offend Phil. I choose to take offense. And if I understand that, then all of a sudden I begin to understand, wait a second here. When all of a sudden something ugly rises up inside of me, our first tendency, well, that's their fault. Look what they did. But no, wait a second here. That's not a good reflection of Christ and your new identity in him. So let Christ pause as you say, hey, God, why is it when I'm around this person, why is it when this thing happens, why is it when this phrase is said, why is it when this goes on, all of a sudden this ugliness comes up out of me? What is it you want to work in my heart? What is it you want to change in me? We're really famous for it. Young couples or, you know, singles, they talk to me and they share with me, and I challenge them the same way every time. I say, you know what? I'm going to ask you, you know what? You need to pray for the person God wants to bring to you. Absolutely. But when you're praying for there, spend a little bit of time on there. Oh, God, would you bring a godly woman or a godly man into my life? Take a little bit of time there, but spend most of your time praying. Oh, God, make me a godly man. So when you give me your precious daughter, I won't mess her up. But I'll help her succeed and draw the best out of her. Oh, God, make me a godly woman. So that I can honor my husband. That I can come alongside. I can draw the best out. You see, we're famous for praying for everything else to change but ourselves. But in this season of new beginnings, And I'll share more of the word, the prophetic word I feel God's put on my heart for our church for this coming year, and that in a couple weeks' time. But in that part, as we come into this time and we move into this motion of moving forward, remind yourself, God, what is it in me that you want to change this year? Listen to me, you can waste all of your effort and time trying to change someone else, and you can't. So it's wasteful. It's like worrying. Worrying in a rock is like sitting in a rocking chair. It's a lot of effort and work, but you get nowhere. It's the same thing with trying to change someone else's life. It just can't happen. Only God can change a life. And so he who plants, he who waters is nothing, the scripture says. They'll get their just reward, but it's only God who can cause it to grow. Look to the sun. Say, God, what's inside of me that would stop anyone from loving you? What's inside of me that raises up every time something happens that I don't like? God, work inside of me. Work inside of me what you want to unfold so that I can reflect your son better. I wish I had one of those tape recorders that I could just put on fast forward and it kind of jumbles really fast so everyone could catch here. There's some words that he's put in my heart. I'm going to do my best to share a few of them anyways, and if I don't get them all, I'll come back to it. But if we come back to the book of Ephesians, it's amazing how Paul, he starts this book out and he's writing this book. You know, this is a church that he has blood, sweat, and tears. He started from nothing. He's been there about 2 years. Now it's thought that he's probably writing this letter from prison. And he's challenging them. He's trying to come across to them. You think that he would be destroyed. You think that it would be a very difficult time because he's been hated, he's opposed, he's despised. Yet he's talking about our identity not being in what we do, in all the things that we look to, or how we perform. But that is our identity being in Christ. Even though he was the one that started that place, now he's in prison. It doesn't change his perspective. And so he's writing to them. And these are the phrases that I'm going to pull out from Ephesians. You can find the other ones yourself. But the first one is, in Christ, you can be faithful. In Christ, you can be faithful. Faithful to your family, to your spouse, to your job, to your coworkers. You can be faithful to Christ just by being in him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, he says, in Christ, you can be faithful. To the saints, he says, who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Question then is, reality is, how many people here have struggled in their faith? I don't know if it's just me that has through my walk with God, or maybe there's others that have struggled in their walk with God with their faith level. Have anyone here ever backslidden? Any of you walked away from God, walked away from something you knew he asked you to do, and you're like, whoa, and you kind of walk away? Have you been inconsistent in your walk with God? Maybe you're here today and you can't find your Bible. You don't know where it is. Maybe you're back from a season away, and now you're back to church. Or maybe you're struggling with some sin on the side. You're hoping others don't find out. Has anyone struggled with their faithfulness or their perseverance? Struggle with not growing weary in doing good? Oh, well, I've done it a long time. I don't really need to do it anymore. Someone else's turn. I hear that phrase in my own heart many times, never mind in my own ears from many other people. Have you asked yourself, how can I become more disciplined? How can I become more faithful? Well, can I give you the most simple answer there is? And that simple answer is in Christ. That's how you can become more faithful. You can only be faithful in Christ. When you remember who you are, then you'll do what you do. Because you do who you are. You do who you are. And when we get disfocused on who we are, we're redeemed. We're a child of the living God. I'm a son. You're a daughter of God. Then out of that, it says, everything you do, do it unto the... When we understand that, well, then it's pretty hard to go out and sin when we know it. It's pretty hard to continue in something we know is not good. Because Holy Spirit convicts us. He begins to tell us. He begins to show us. He says, well, you know, that might seem good right now, but that's going to destroy your marriage. That's going to destroy your life. That's going to hurt your job or whatever it might be, or the goodness that God has for you. See, the way to remain faithful is not doing more. The way to remain faithful is understanding and coming into Christ. It's coming into Christ. You see, when you know who Christ is for you, in you, and through you, that affects every decision you make and the life that you live. Look to the Son. When we forget Jesus in the equation, we get what we can get. Second, in Christ you're blessed. Period. In Christ you are blessed. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Not some, not a little, but every spiritual blessing he has given and put inside of you. You lack nothing in Christ. If we skip down just to verse 6 of chapter 1 of Ephesians, he says, he has blessed us in the beloved, or in Christ, he has blessed us. I don't know about you. Have you ever felt cursed or felt like your life is not what it should be? You're working hard, but you're not getting the promotion. You feel like you're overlooked. Relationally, you're investing in people and they just seem to be taken from you, but they don't seem to invest back into you. Do you feel like life is one in which, you know, it just wheels are spinning? You see, in Christ, you are blessed. In Christ, you're so blessed. Sometimes that's financially. Sometimes that's emotionally. Sometimes that's physically. But all the time, you are blessed spiritually. Enriched, renewed. Day by day, glory by glory. You've been blessed with the righteousness of Christ. In the word says, he's clothed you with his righteousness. You've been blessed with the love of Christ. You've been blessed with the forgiveness of Christ. You've been blessed with the guaranteed resurrection from the dead and eternal life in Christ. We all deserve not heaven. We all deserve to go to hell. We all do. For our sins, we'll never be able to make up for any of them. That sinful nature we all started with, and then we participated with over the years, and that it gets us in trouble all the time. And heaven is where God dwells, and it's perfect holiness. And I don't know about you, I don't fit that category on my own. But in Christ, he clothes me with his righteousness. He declares me holy. And he invites me and bids me to come sit on his Father's lap. Let us not forget why we are where we are today. That's why at the foot of the cross, we are all equal. It doesn't matter if you've been saved 30 seconds or you've been saved for 50 years. When we stand before Christ, we're all equal. All equal at the foot of the cross. You are not overlooked. You are not missed or a mistake. You are blessed. With everything else in life is a blessing. Everything else is a blessing because you are blessed. In Christ, you not only can be faithful, you not only are blessed, but in Christ, you're chosen and made blameless. This is a big one. There's some in this room today, statistics would tell me, you have an incredible hard time to forgive others. You just hold things. Statistics tell me that. And on the other side of the coin, and that there's a lot of people in here that have a really hard time, you can forgive anyone, anything. But you have a really hard time forgiving yourself. Listen to me. In our church here, we try to make everything a little bit easier. So we've had locksmiths come in and rekey certain doors so that one master key can open doors. Can I give you the two master keys that will open every door spiritually for you? Two master keys. One is love. Love never, ever, ever fails. It is a master key to anything. The second master key that God has given us in Christ is the key of forgiveness. See, there is no power in the sin that you might get entrapped in or I get entrapped in. Christ already took care of that. Took the keys of death and hell. It's got no power anymore. And that he's all the stuff that we've done wrong, is none of it has power over us. Unless we leave it locked. Christ has given us the key of love, and he's given us the key of forgiveness. We need to use both of them. They will open any door. No matter what door you face, no matter what's going on, it will unlock you from the junk the enemy is throwing at you, and it will unlock someone else. Even if they don't accept it, doesn't matter. Because everything we do it unto the Lord. We give forgiveness whether they want to receive it or not. So that we can be free, but we can unlock the door for them so that whenever they're ready, we'll put in the key in that lock. So anytime they want, all they have to do is turn it and they can be free too. In Christ, you are chosen and made blameless. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, he, that is God, chose us. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. In Christ, he says, you're chosen and made blameless. But I don't know about you. Maybe you're that kid in school when all of a sudden they're picking a team and you're growing up. And it was between you and a potted plant. And they decided to take the potted plant instead of you. And you're like, oh, I didn't get chosen again. He felt overlooked. Or maybe you feel in your life, you know, whether at work or at school growing up, you're like, today they're going to draw a name out of a hat and they're going to win something. And right away you're like, oh, that's not me. I know it's not me. I never win anything. It's not me. Well, if it's chicken pox, maybe I'll win that. But anything good, I don't know about you. How many have ever felt that way? and that you never get picked for anything, never chosen or favored or graced in that way. You see, in Christ, he reminds us that we're chosen. It's something for us to delight in. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be motivated by guilt. I don't want to be motivated by shame. I don't want to be motivated by fear, because perfect love casts out all fear. I want to know who I am in Christ so that I can begin to live the life that Christ has for me. And that's Christ's life in me and through me. It's Christ's life in you and through you. Our goal is not to get to heaven. There's only two places for people to go. It's one or the other, based on a decision in your heart. But our goal is to become more like Christ. We have to get that into our heart. That's scripture. Our goal is to become like Christ. So, when can we quit? When have we arrived? We never, till we get to heaven. And he gives us a new body and perfects us and allows us to come into the throne room. So don't let the enemy ever whisper in your ear that you're done. There's no place for you, that you're overlooked. There's a place for everyone. Oh, things might change. Those achy, achy, breaky knees might not get down on the ground as easy. And that to play with the nursery kids. But you know what? The youth, they don't go down to the ground a whole lot. Maybe you can help in that area. But I've never done that before. It's a brand new day. God's wanting to do something new. But don't let the enemy lie to you that you're overlooked, that there's no value, that you're not blessed. But in Christ, you were chosen. You were set apart for a purpose, for a plan. In fact, he says, I prepared every good work for you in advance. In Christ, you're forgiven. I'll end with this one. And I'll finish some of them off, or I'll put it in the bulletin in the next week or so. In Christ, you are forgiven. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in him, that's in Christ, many of you maybe have read many times that you've missed that part, in him. But in the Bible, it's more than 216 times. In him, in Christ, in him, in Christ, in the beloved. It's there over and over and over again. In him, we have been redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses. In Christ, you are forgiven. It's like that scripture that says, in Christ, I can do all things. Right? Through Christ who strengthens me. Well, reality is the same then. If that is true, this is true. Outside of Christ, I can do nothing of any value for the kingdom's sake. I can tie my shoes. And even that, can I tie my shoes without Christ doing a work? Oh, we say, well, those that aren't serving God, they can still tie their shoes. It's because Holy Spirit's working. He's working forever to and fro out this earth. He's longing. He says, the harvest is plentiful. It's the workers that are few. He is constantly releasing and speaking and moving towards people. And he's just looking for you and I to be a voice, to be hands extended, to be feet that will move towards them. Have you ever felt punished? Man, my life is hard right now because God is punishing me. Oh, this is a difficult season. But I brought it onto myself. Well, the Lord is angry with me, and he's punishing me. I don't know if you've ever felt that or if you've ever said phrases like that, but I want to declare to you truth. That in Christ, you are forgiven. You're not punished. There's a big difference between punishment and discipline. God disciplines those he loves. He's drawing you up in righteousness. He's going to draw you. He's going to make you, whoa, this isn't feeling really good. Oh, Holy Spirit, are you trying to say something? Yeah, okay, I don't want to do that. Okay, I'll follow you. And he's constantly doing those things in our lives because he loves you. Not because he hates you, not because he's like, oh, I'm going to get them. He's not that angry judge in the sky. I don't see anything in Scripture that tells me that. You are forgiven. Jesus died in your place for your sins, and when he said, it is finished, that's what he meant. So he traded places with you. And that you're in the place of forgiveness, and he took on the place of condemnation. He took it down to the grave, and he conquered it down there. And he rose again victorious. Never again to have to fight that battle again. But you don't have to fight it because it's already done. We're enjoying the freedoms that we're in today because of those that were before us and fought in World War II when the big war had taken place. Many lives lost, many families impacted. But yet, we're living in the freedom and the results of that freedom and that life and the blessings of that. It's the same thing. Christ, he took it all on himself. You do not have to carry it. You need to be in Christ. In a place of forgiveness. In a place where there's no condemnation. And that's what happened on the cross. That's what it means to be in Christ and be forgiven. Ah, that's just a few of the phrases. That's just a few of the moments in that God has shown. I encourage you to read Ephesians chapter 4. Read it 2, 3, 4 times. Circle in there in those. Because if we don't get this one right, if we don't get firm upon the rock, we will get tossed to and fro by our emotions, by our feelings, by what people say, by our body aching and not feeling like, I don't really want to do something. I don't want to do this. And we'll justify. We do it all the time. But when we remind ourselves of who we are in Christ, then if God's asked me to do it, whom he calls, he will equip. He'll give you the strength. He'll give me the strength. He'll give us the strength to accomplish anything he's asked us to accomplish in Christ. In Christ. Let's stand together. Dave, I know I didn't say it to you, but it's on the opening videos, our identity. We're going to read a statement. Did you find it already? He's bringing her up. We're going to read a statement in behind us. If we can read it together, can everyone see that okay? I didn't bold the type, but hopefully we can see it. And that I want us to read this statement as an act of blessing and an act of declaration of who we are in Christ. Ready? I am a child of the King. I am a co-heir with Jesus. All Jesus bought and paid for is in my inheritance. I am united with Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ. I died with him. I was buried with him. I was raised with him. And I'm seated with him in heavenlies, far above all rule, all power, all authority, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Therefore, I carry the authority of Christ. I have authority over sickness, authority over sin, over demons, and over this world. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I have displaced the darkness. I have the full armor of God. I put on the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation and the sandals of peace. I take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, for the weapons of my warfare are not fleshly. They are divinely powerful to tear down the strongholds of darkness. I can do all things. Say that again. I can do all things through Christ, because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Jesus, we thank you. Oh God, renew our minds. Help us to awake and arise. For we are sons and daughters of the living God. We have been made new. And in Christ, we lack nothing. Oh God, I pray you would renew our thinking, renew our speech, renew our actions and our walk based off of who we are in you. No longer trying to perform to gain some kind of acceptance and to find an identity. Oh, but may we find rest in you, that you already declare who we are. You already say we're accepted. And you've already prepared in advance every good thing. All we got to do is remain in you as you remain in us. Oh, Jesus, I thank you for this new year. I thank you for new beginnings. I thank you for renewing or rejuvenating inside of each and every one of us. Lord, a passion for your word, a passion for you. But Lord, help it to be on the right track. Because many, sometimes we get bumped off that track and we try to do it in our own strength, in religious ways. We get bumped off of that track and we try so hard, we feel that we deserve all this stuff. Oh, I deserve this. I deserve, Jesus, you paid for it all. Help us to get on the right track of being in Christ and what that means. That we might walk victorious, we might walk whole in you, we might walk not defeated by all the things of this world, but that we might walk on top of them, just like Peter walked on top of the water. Oh God, no matter what we face in 2018, God, we know that we're going to make it. We know not only make it, but Lord, you have created us to succeed and not fail. Oh, Jesus, let your plans unfold for our lives, for our families, for this church, for our community. God, we want to participate with you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to participate as the whole earth is groaning for the Son of God to be revealed. God, I pray, Lord, we want to participate with you and we want to rise up that everyone might taste and see that you are good. Oh, Jesus, I thank you for what you're about to do. And we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. And we bless each and every one. Go before them and behind them, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you are with them. And so, Lord, help them in everything they do to remember to look to the Son. Look to the Son, and he will give them everything. He is the bread of life. They will never hunger again. And that he will quench their thirst, that they will never thirst again when they look to the Son. So Jesus, we thank you for all that you're doing. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen.